We're out. I'm out. You can get them on Amazon.
Okay.
All right. Have a seat. Boy, it's cold in here. Everybody grab a chair. Forgot to tell everybody the virtual boot camp in December is not on this list. Incidentally, this is back here if you're interested. There's a focus button on here somewhere. If I only knew where it was. I'm going to start pushing buttons till it focuses.
Just wave your hands from the back.
Huh? Well, that ain't it. Okay, I don't know which one it is. There it is. All right, grab your chairs. Hey, Isaiah. I'm hitting AF. Does that stand for automatic focus? I need to focus this thing. Okay. I'm delegating that to you. What do I do? Which one is it?
I'm not sure.
Oh, you're not sure. What do I need you for then?
We'll figure it out, though.
Okay. All right. While you're doing that, how many birthdays do we have today? Huh? Okay. So we just got Laurel, huh? All right. Laurel is 76 years old today. So you know what we got to do. Right? All right. You ready, Laurel? I told everybody your age. Get over it. All right. You ready? Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Laurel. Happy birthday to you. Okay. I hope you enjoyed that, because that's all you're getting. And happy birthday to the rest of you for yesterday, tomorrow, and whenever. All right. Yes, sir. Any other questions you want to bring up? You get that thing focused yet? Okay, you did. All right. Which one? I pushed that one. Nothing happened. All right. So this is back there if you want it. What were the dates again on December?
December 7th through the 12th.
All right. It's 4 days. 7, 8. Hey, that ain't right. 7th through the 10th. No, we're working on the 11th. Aren't we? Yeah. Oh, no, I'm thinking of next week. Sorry. Okay. 7th through the 10th. All right. I have a question here. How many tenants have you needed to evict? You mean in my whole life? Like I'm supposed to remember? Frankly, last year, none. I evicted none during 2020. I had no problem collecting the rents during COVID. Remember, I don't have tenants. I have tenant buyers. They'll have thousands of dollars at risk. They don't pay the rent. They lose that big deposit. I don't worry about tenant buyers. And I know I talked to some of you in a room that's got tenants. I'd never have tenants again in single-family houses as long as I live. Makes no sense to me to put tenants in houses. We put tenant buyers in houses. Big deposits, they do the work with their own money. They act like owners, not tenants. They don't tear up the place. When they move, they apologize that they couldn't buy, and they leave the place clean when they leave, mostly. And if you got tenants, just start converting them to tenant buyers. I don't know how many businesses I've saved like that. I can think of one in Springfield, actually. He was had a whole bunch of tenants, and they were strangling him. He went and converted them to all tenant buyers, changed the whole business around. All right. Any other questions? Yes, sir. I'll repeat it for you. I make them 100% responsible for the maintenance in writing in front of an attorney signed off on in blood. Yes. Yes. Now, I usually guarantee the systems for the first 30 days. Big deal. It's a beautiful house in a beautiful neighborhood. What am I guaranteeing? I mean, I almost never have any problem. Oh, by the way, how many have I evicted? I haven't evicted anybody. The last time I evicted must be 25 years ago. And that's only because she rented it in poor condition, as is. She lived in there for 5 years, and then she died, and then her kids refused to move, so I had to evict her kids. So that's when you're getting a bunch of money from them, you don't need to worry about evicting them. Yes? Question? No? All right. Don't do that at an auction. Okay. Any other questions? Guys, come on up. Lyle and Kyle and are you back there? Yeah. And? I can take you both up here at the same time if you want. Or no, just one at a time.
So let's say your market is about $204 million home.
Yeah.
And then $700,000 home.
Both of you come up. Come on, Ann. Go ahead. You're concerned that people who won't buy higher end houses on lease purchase?
I'm not saying they won't, but the population of getting someone selling to someone.
The higher priced house you go, the less people can qualify for it from traditional means. And remember, they need 20% down. $1 million house requires a $200,000 down payment. Not with me, though. I'll let them in there with $100,000. And they can go raise the other $100,000 however much time they want to take doing it. So believe me when I tell you, just because it's a higher priced house don't mean everybody that wants to live in a higher priced house and go to the bank and get a loan. They just can't for various reasons. And the more they get scrutinized, too, on the higher priced houses. So there's a huge market out there. In fact, we did one in Vegas on a $4 million house. Guy put up $150,000 non-refundable deposit and lease option for a year and then cashed it out. All right. Yes. Go ahead. Do I take them through any kind of qualifications? Certainly. Certainly I do. What do you think I'm looking for when I qualify them? What's the first thing I want to know? Yeah, how much of money you got? Okay, that kills a lot of them right there. Okay, and then really, can you know, what's your income? Can you? And I'm asking myself, can they afford to make that payment that they say they can make? And then I send mine to screenthetenant.com. I don't care who you use. You got somebody out here that screens for you. Screenthetenant.com. So for $50, I get a debt income ratio report. I get a background search. I get a Megan's Law search, which is looking for child molesters. And they work with the tenant to pull their credit. And they send me back a report on all of that. And frankly, I'm only looking for animals because I don't care what their credit is. I hope it's low. If you think about that for a minute, there's a method to that madness. The lower their credit, the less chance they got of buying, right? Just saying. I'm not looking for good credit, but I am looking for the ability to pay, and I am looking for a really, really, really bad past. You know, if they've been evicted 3 times and foreclosed on twice in the last 2 years, I know I'm just next. But on the other hand, they give me enough money, I'm okay with that. All right, Kyle, you can grab a chair there and bring Ann up here. Ann, come on up here. We'll do them both together. Yes, sir. Buyer's not getting any credit toward their purchase from their rent. Never have. No rent credit. And you know what? They don't even ask. And when they ask, the answer is no. If you want your debt to go down, well, then I'd suggest you, as soon as you can, go to the loan, go to the bank, get a loan, and you'll be paying toward your principal. I think you were next, and then I'll get to you.
So you said you do look for their ability to save. You use the percentage of the debt ratio.
I don't want to go over 50%, which is 43% with FHA. I'm okay with 50. But it has more to do with the amount of money they make. Somebody making $10,000 a month, and I'm putting them in a house that their payment is $2,500 a month, 50% is going to go away. I want to make sure they got plenty of money left to live on, that's all. So it's a matter of common sense. All right. Yes.
What's the interest rate?
Interest rate on what? I'm lease optioning. Okay. Is your question, what do I charge my buyers?
Right.
They don't pay interest. They pay rent. If I'm selling with owner financing, they'll pay interest. But the truth is, I could care less about what the interest rate is. I want the payment to be as high as possible. That's all that matters, isn't it? So here's how to handle that. Suppose I'm selling with owner financing.
Okay, so
you're my buyer.
No.
There is no interest rate on a lease option. It's rent. It's not interest. Okay? But if I'm selling to you with owner financing, I would be asking you, what do you think is a fair rate? And you'll give me an answer. And I don't care what you say, because it ain't about the interest rate. It's about the payment. I want the payment as high as possible.
How does it relate to the purchase price? I think that's what she was kind of leading to.
Interest has nothing to do with what I do, because I'm not selling with owner financing. That's the only time interest would come in. I mean, except when I'm buying and the seller. So I lease option. Now, you guys that live in Cincinnati, you might choose to sell on land contract. And then there's an interest, but don't get hung up on the rate. The rate's irrelevant. It's the payment that counts. Way back.
Do you ever stay in between the deal and take this rent? Like, let's say you have $7,000 of rent, and that you were able to your master lease is something for $7,000, and then you can get it for $8,000. Do you ever stay in between and take that $1,000 per month?
I have no idea what you just said.
Let's say you negotiate with the seller and they want $7,000 and you agree and you're able to get $8,000. Do you ever sit in between and take that $1,000?
I always sit in between and take that $1,000. That's called the spread. That's where you get your residual income from. Period. That's one of the big reasons for doing the deal. And sometimes that monthly spread's so big, I'll pay almost retail price just to get at that monthly spread.
You had an example earlier where the seller wanted $7,000 and you offered $7,000 and you were just saying you were just willing to take the deposit.
Well, that was my student.
Okay.
But she got $50,000 out of the deal, don't forget. And she didn't have any risk because if she didn't find that tenant buyer, there was no deal. And that was perfectly clear to the seller going in. But she decided not to stay in because there was no monthly spread. Yes.
You mentioned earlier about talking to a seller that has financing. You talked about wrapping that finance.
Yes.
Can you give me a quick little detail of that, what you're wrapping and how does that
work? Well, do you remember my deal where I bought it and they owed $351 on it? Okay. My attorney created a mortgage for the same $351 with the same principal and interest payment as the underlying loan. So I'm still paying on that mortgage.
Are you paying that directly?
I'm paying the bank directly. Yes. With the seller's permission, just a little thing at closing. The advantage to that is they can show income, and if I don't pay, they can foreclose. Well, very easily. They already sold the property to me. They can't get another lien against it. They don't own it anymore. I do have the deed. What makes you think I don't have the deed? I buy houses, okay? But even if I was leasing it with an option to buy, they're not going to go refinance it. A, it's a violation of their contract. And B, If I'm really concerned about it, I'll just record a memorandum, but I don't do that. But they ain't going to do that. You guys are worried about God, all these things that are... I never had a seller go behind my back and screw up the deal like that after I've done the deal. Besides, whose name is the loan in? Theirs. They're just making their own mess. You guys know who just walked into our room? A legend. Huh? Lena! You owe her for being here. That's Vina. She's the boss. Say that again.
I sent 100 emails in the last 3 months.
Yeah. Oh, you sent them. Okay. So they're tired of you. Okay. All right. We got any more before I go over these deals?
Yes.
What? What? Where? Go. Shoot.
Just because I want to make sure that I have something clear in my mind. The payments that you get from the person who gave you the chunk of money.
The tenant buyer gave me a chunk of money for rent, for the non-refundable option deposit, which goes toward their down payment.
So the monthly payments that they give you after that.
Is rent. Monthly payment is rent. No. Not paying down anything. If I lease them the house for $300,000, 2 years from now they owe me $300,000. While simultaneously, when you make a payment to the seller's bank, your debt is paying down. You get the benefit of the debt pay down.
Yeah. But they can keep paying you for infinity if they live that. Right?
As long as I want to leave them in the house, they can keep paying me, and that's exactly what I will do. I've never moved anybody out because they didn't buy it. In fact, I told you I got two of them. They're 12 years. 12 years. Yeah. So they're probably going to die in the house.
Okay.
Then I have to go rent it again. It sucks. Yes, ma'am. All right, can you speak up a little? Yeah. I don't know if anybody does it anymore. I don't. Never have. Never had any problem with it. Why would I want to give them rent credit if they don't ask for it? And even if they did ask for it, I'd just choose not to. Well, you're probably under the impression of a lot of things that are not going to turn into reality when you get your head in the game. No. That's what education, the value of it is, isn't it? Huh? No, they get no debt pay down whatsoever. Yes, sir. I'm coming.
Do you ever change the amount of rent?
The only time I change the amount of rent, you know these two people have been in my houses for 12 years? I've actually raised their rent once. And they're under market now. And I don't care. I don't care. I've been in the house for 12 years, for crying out loud. What do I care about a few dollars a month? And in fact, you know, when you get into this business, you get to treat people like you'd like to be treated, or you get to be an animal and do everything you can do. But, you know, you've got to live with yourself in the morning. And I've always liked to take care of the people who take care of me. And if these people, by some fluke, wanted to come back and buy one of these houses, obviously they're going to ask me, what do I want for it now? And it's going to be considerably less than what it's worth. I think they've earned the right to buy the house if that's what they choose to do. And as long as they've been in the house and doing their own repairs, I think they earn the right to get a below market rent. I ain't going to bother them. It ain't going to make a bit of difference in my life. I raise the rent anyway. So I leave them alone. I probably should raise the rent, but I don't. Yes? Yeah, their option expired a year after they went in the house. They don't seem to care. I don't seem to care. They still do the repairs. They don't even call. I trained them well. I think they're still in the house. They're paying rent. I ain't seen the place in 12 years. I don't know. Now, I guess it's in okay condition. They're living in it. But I don't care. Oh, absolutely. Oh, those houses pretty and clear. Yeah, they paid them off for me. God bless them. Whenever I buy a house, I get the deed. I buy on a wraparound mortgage or I buy subject to. It means I get the deed. Okay, land contracts are very prevalent up here. But that's still, you don't get the deed, but you get ownership of it. You get all the rights as if you got the deed. And frankly, I'd buy on a wraparound mortgage here unless the seller just absolutely insisted on a land contract. Yes? Yes, they are renting to own.
So their rent payments
do
go
toward. No, their rent payments do not go toward their purchase price.
They're renting, so the option of purchase.
Correct.
By the amount they put down. So whatever.
Correct.
They want to purchase it, that amount will go towards the purchase price.
That is correct. Their down payment goes toward the money they give me goes toward their down payment, and of course comes off their purchase price.
But until that point,
they're paying rent. They're paying rent. Yes. Uh-huh. I have every right in the world to increase their rent after their option period is up. I don't give them more than 2 years. But that doesn't mean I kick them out after 2 years or even raise their rent after 2 years. I just don't do anything. And if the taxes go up, the taxes go up. If it gets to the point to where it bothers me, then I'll go raise the rent. But I haven't. Yes, ma'am. Yeah. Yes. All the above. All the above. Yes. Yes, ma'am. You weren't in my morning session. What? She heard it was really great. Yeah, okay. All right. So you weren't here when I gave away the new car either, were you? What's your name? Sheila. Oh, geez, you were the first one I drawed. Ah, terribly sorry. Wasn't it Sheila that I drawed? Huh? Back me up, guys. All right, anyway, what's your question, Sheila?
So you're making a 1-year option.
To whom? Now, I usually give my tenant buyers 2 years. Actually, I ask them, how long do you think it'll take to get you qualified? They tell me 1 year. I say, I'll give you two. You got to remember, I don't want them to cash me out. Okay,
you.
I set the price. Absolutely. I do set the price and I publish the price, and the price is always more than what I think it's worth. Go ahead. I can barely hear you.
How do
you manage the repairs?
What repairs?
I don't do any. Tenant buyer does them.
Do you put in the contract?
Absolutely. It's a condition of their option. It has nothing to do with landlord-tenant law. It's a condition of their option that they do their own repairs. Go ahead. If the seller is looking to cash out and what?
Yeah, if the seller,
can you pull that mask down so I can understand?
If the seller doesn't want you to spend down, pay down their mortgage, and they prefer to be cashed out with a few years on their.
You mean if they put a balloon in my deal? That's a balloon. When there's a term, I got to pay them off.
Uh-huh.
What about it?
Well,
usually they're cashed out by then, but that's a good point. What if the seller gets a 5-year balloon and I can't pay him off at the end of the 5-year period? Well, there's always suicide. If that's not on the table, let me ask you this question. What are the two choices the seller has? Take the house back or extend the term? If they want the house back, you're going to give it to them, right? Huh? There ain't no sense of them trying to get nasty and foreclose, because if they foreclose, they're foreclosing on your land trust. Your name doesn't even enter into it because you listened to me and you bought with non-recourse. They're not going to foreclose anyway if you're willing to give it back to them. But the reality is almost never will they do that anyway. They'll just extend the term. So you don't need to worry about that stupid balloon. Unless you guarantee that debt, then you ought to be worrying about it because you didn't listen. Bad things happen when you don't listen to the old guy. Yes, sir.
Yeah, you said that one person
Two.
No, you said you had one person.
No. Well, okay. No, one of those houses had three tenants in it. I got one house that's had six tenants. Right.
Lease option on.
Correct.
So what happens if they extend it, let's say, 5 years?
They don't extend it 5 years. I don't lease longer than, I don't option longer than 2 years.
Okay. But you said you could extend it.
I don't really do anything.
Yes.
I just let them keep making the payments. But if they contact me one day and decide they want to buy, I had one a couple of years ago. A gal lived in it for 5 years. Her husband abandoned her. She's sitting there supporting the kids by herself. I think I lease optioned it to her for $89.9 5 years ago. Now she comes to me, it's worth about $130. You ain't. She got an inheritance, I think. Well, this is up to you. See, could I have charged her $130? But I sold it to her for the $89.9. See, you didn't think I had a heart. There actually is one there. Yes, sir. I hope, because if I don't, I fail.
But I have a question. I want to get feedback. I'm doing lease options typically with a little lower end. So I give them like 5 years. I think because the whole idea is people typically move every 5 to 8 years.
Or less. It's actually 2.3 years.
I was looking at homeowners, I think, but that was not going to be a change. But my thinking was that I increase the chances that they stay longer.
I'm telling you, when their option expires, I don't even notify them.
Right.
They just keep paying the rent.
I just don't know when they get a psychological.
I have no contact with my tenants when I put them in the house unless they stop paying rent. And even then, no human goes out to the house and knocks on the door to get their brains blown out. We have system. We send them paper, turn it over to the attorney. If they're not going to pay, they're going to go. Yes. Yeah, sometimes you get a call and I remind them of their option agreement and it's their responsibility. And there have been a few times when I actually had to fix it because I knew they weren't going to be able to and it was dangerous. And if I fix it, of course, I'm going to usually add about 125% of that to the purchase price. And they're thrilled with that. Thrilled with it. Besides, if they move out, I'm going to have to fix it anyway, right? So if I had to fix it, I have to fix it. But that's very, very rare. Okay. Ooh. Yes. I've had one mortgage company try to call a loan due one time, and several months later, they finally went away, and the payments were in arrears, and they had attorney's fees. When I convinced them that if they want to call it due, don't bother, I'll give you the house. They wouldn't take it. They told me, we want you to come down and assume the loan. And I said, nope, that wasn't in the plan when I bought it. I don't intend to. I do intend to make the payments, unless you want the house. It literally took 7 months to get to a conclusion. Finally, they contacted me and said, if you'll make the payments current and pay our attorney's fees, we'll back off. I said, no, I'll pay the payments. You pay your own attorney's fees. I didn't hire them. You hired them. And they finally accepted that, and they went away. Banks don't want houses, guys. I mean, they'd rather have COVID than take a house back. Seriously. You have no idea what that does to them internally when they have to take a house back. It screws up all of their ratios. They'll bend over backwards not to take it back. Somebody's wanting to make the payments. They're going to take the payments. And by the way, in time, I'll teach you what to do if they come after you. Because I can tell you right now, to come after me to take a house back, they ain't getting a house. I know how to stop them cold. Yes. Back to repairs.
You talked about the tenant buyer's responsibility. What happens after the 2 year mark if they continue to pay rent?
Yes.
But the option period is expired.
What happens? Well, they are in my mind. They are in my mind. Legal, they aren't. So now we're into it 3 years, and they call me because some repair needs to be done. And they say, but my option is expired. Oh, does that mean you're moving? Because you are if you want me to fix that furnace. By the way, I don't care which choice they take. fix the furnace or move. Either one is fine with me. Remember, when these folks move, you can do it again, collect another big deposit. But I do everything I can to help them achieve their end goal, but they're not making the rules. I am. Yes?
I assume the options are non-transferable.
The options are always non-transferable. Ain't nobody going to transfer their option to somebody else without my permission. I've never had anybody even ask, to tell you the truth. Now, there's nothing stopping them from selling that house for a higher price than they agreed to pay me. I couldn't stop them, nor, you know, where'd I even try? Why would I? All right. Can we move on now? All right. Let's find how what happened to these leads up here. Because, boy, did we have a pile of crap to work on here today, didn't we?
Yeah.
Huh? Well, we sure did.
I don't know if you want those or if you put... Yeah.
Oh, I'll answer them later now. I got to get going.
Okay.
I'm assuming Ron's already talked about VAs.
Virtual assistants, yes.
Yeah.
We need them.
Would have come a long way here.
All right. Let's start with the numbers.
Okay.
How many leads did we have total, finally?
Between Ann and I, the class brought 49 total leads.
49 leads. Okay.
23 of those were already off market.
Listed or sold?
Listed, sold,
so
pending.
Now we're down to what? 49, 39?
We were down to 26 actual leads. We were only able to physically reach 15 of those.
This is not on.
It's not on. And we only reached 15 people.
So you got 15 people on the telephone.
Yes.
Out of all of those leads. Yes. But to be fair, you only had half of those leads that are callable.
Right.
All right. So you talked to 20, what was it, 20, what was the number, 26?
26 total
okay.
leads.
Okay. So you got 15 of those 26 on the phone.
Yes.
All right. And how many of those you got on the phone because they called you back from your text?
Yeah, we texted 17 of those. Nine, over 50%, actually called us back after they texted.
Nine of the total 15 people they talked to called them back after they text them. How important is that is when you're processing your leads, if you don't text them, you're just going to waste the best ones. And that's the one that called you back.
It's just reality. They don't necessarily want to talk to you. So.
Right.
Ann, Team Indiana, Ann here, she actually pulled. We have a potential couple things here because of Ann. So
okay.
It's all good.
So Ann talked to 10 of them all together. And you talked to 5 of them.
I actually talked to 10, and Ann talked to 5.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's how bad I was.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
I got lucky.
Okay. So you talked to 10 of them.
Yes.
And none of those 10 were worth messing with.
No.
Sorry. So you struck out. You suck, Kyle.
I did. Huh? You have said that, and I do.
You did today.
So.
Wasn't your fault, though. And in fact,
no, you guys brought some crap.
You guys, how many leads did they bring in? Didn't even have a friggin' phone number.
Yeah.
Come on, guys. How you gonna call a seller? We don't even have a phone number.
Yeah, but I was looking.
That was sad.
8 like that.
Look at this.
Cover the name. Don't make somebody embarrassed.
Oh, that's more than I
Why
got.
Why not?
Yeah.
No phone number.
Not even a price.
No way to call them. There's nothing we can do with a lead like that.
Well, I looked it up. It's off market.
So you guys see the value of filling out these sheets.
Yeah.
We could do so much more.
All right. So, Ann, yes. You've got 3 that are worth even talking to, right?
I've got 3 that are worth talking
okay.
to.
Okay. Let's go over those 3.
Which one do you want to start with?
Give me the crap first.
The crap first. Let's do this crap first. Okay. John, is there a John? John Heath? Come on down, John.
Oh, he don't have to come on down.
You don't want to come down? You don't want him a Nazi?
No, he can stay there.
You're getting soft.
All right, so what you got here is they started out asking 370, right?
Correct.
Okay, and then you got them down to what?
350.
350, all right. How'd you get them from 370 to 350, Ann?
What's the best you'll do?
And they came from 370 to 350.
Correct.
With one sentence.
One sentence.
Okay.
I did follow up on that sentence, but they stuck at
All right.
350.
Now, you looked up the ARV, and you say it's 390 to 400.
Correct.
Can I see that? All right.
It's not the Zestimate. That
they
was the actual
they
ARF.
Thought the house was worth 370. That's probably what the Zestimate was. Did you notice?
Yes.
And what was it?
It was 370.
Okay. Imagine that. The house is really worth 400. And I'm going to tell you, we get a house and we can see that it's worth 400. Does that mean that's what we're going to sell it for?
No.
Absolutely not, guys. I'm telling you right now, this nice house, a nice neighborhood, and it is because it says it needs no repairs down here. And it is a 1,500 square foot, three bedroom, two and a half bath house. There's no way I'll sell it for 400. I'd probably mark this thing up in this marketplace today, $429,900. But, Ron, what if it doesn't appraise? Who gives a crap? Who's going to appraise it? I'm selling it with owner financing. And what if it doesn't appraise? First of all, when do you think they're actually going to go get a loan? Probably never. So what if they do? Would it probably be worth that when they go get a loan? Well, what if it isn't? What if it isn't? It's their problem. They got to come up with a difference. Or trade me something. Or talk me into lowering the price, which is possible. not likely, but possible. We always sell them for more than what they're worth. And that's going to be predicated on the market. We're in a hot market, aren't we? Aren't there a lot of houses out there right now in this price range that are offered for $400,000 and are overbidden them to $430,000? Cash. Absolutely. Why wouldn't I charge $430,000? I'd be foolish not to. If the house is in good condition, and apparently it is. So now, knowing that, we got them down to $350,000. Now you realize we got $80,000 worth of equity in this house if, in fact, I sell it for $430,000. I got $50,000 in it if I only sell it for the $400,000. Do I not? Hello?
Yeah.
Okay, who named the price? The seller. We didn't name the price. The seller named the price, didn't he?
The seller told me $350,000.
Okay. Now, this was a no lead. No lead. And they did agree that they would take some terms, did they not?
Well, so this is a deceased father. The one on the phone said that she would consider terms but has to discuss it with her brother.
Uh-huh.
So I wrote the terms down, but okay. Of course they want all cash.
But. So they said they'd take 20 down.
20 down.
$20,000 down on a $400,000 house. Now, is that a very reasonable request? Yeah, I don't want to give them 20, but could I if I had to? Hello, how many of you would give them the 20 grand if you had to? All right, how many of you wouldn't? Okay, how many of you don't know? And who's not going to raise their hand no matter what? Okay, the rest of you. All right, so it's a business decision. First of all, I don't remember ever giving anybody what they asked for. So if they take terms, am I going to get lesser of a down payment? So how am I going to handle that? I'm going to handle that this way. Ann's my seller. Ann?
Yes.
All right. By the way, I'm going out and look at the house now. Have I got enough reason to go look at this house?
Yes.
Are you kidding? I got $50,000 worth of equity I know of. They already said they'd take 20 down. They much would prefer cash, wouldn't they?
Oh, yes. Absolutely.
Not very many sellers wouldn't prefer cash. And look at that. They said they take $1,000 a month. $1,000 a month. And the house is free and clear. $1,000 a month ought to get your heart beating. Right there. If they'll take $1,000 a month, what does that tell you? You're going to have a huge monthly cash flow on this thing. You put a tenant buyer in there. It's a $400,000 house. This house got to be worth $2,500 a month. $2,000 at the bare minimum. And by the way, do lease option tenant buyers pay more than tenants? Say yes, Ron.
Yes.
More than tenants. I got at least $1,000 a month positive cash flow if I do this deal based on these terms. Now, if I have to give up 20, what would you expect I get back from a tenant buyer on a $400,000 house? I showed you one this morning. What did I get? 50. Okay. What if I can't get 50? What if I can only get 40? Well, I'm still 20 ahead, aren't I? Okay, no problem at all getting more than 20, and that's what you need to know. In my case, if I got this under contract under those terms, I'd want to close it next week. So I don't want you to be under the impression I'm going to sit around and wait for a buyer to come along before I close on this property. Because every day that goes by is a day I could lose this property, even if it's under contract. I want to get it closed, seal the deal. I'll put up the 20, close it next week, because I ain't worried about the exit strategy. Plenty of equity, beautiful house, all kinds of upsides. For those of you who don't have the money, you put it under contract, and then you find somebody with the money, and you get it closed. On the other hand, this house is vacant. See that? So I could put it under contract and ask the seller's permission to actually show it while I'm waiting to close it. So then could I possibly get the 40 or 50 lined up before I even have to close the purchase? Say yes, Ron.
Yes.
Yes, but I tell you right now, I want to close it. But then again, I got the money. So if you don't have the money, you either get the money from somebody else or you work the deal so that the deal puts up the money. Does that make sense?
Yes.
All right, I'm telling you that for all of you who don't have the money. And just because you don't have the money, you have got a good, convenient excuse not to do anything. Baloney. It don't work. I promise you, there ain't nobody in this room broker than I was when I started. We'll compare notes. I had nothing. And nothing to fall back on. And so if you don't have the money, this is one of the few businesses that you can do without the money. And whatever you need that you don't have, somebody right close to you, probably sitting within three chairs of you right now, would be thrilled to put up the money. This is why you need to develop your own network while you're here. Yeah. Who'd be thrilled to put up money for these deals, short-term money? Yeah. Well, you can't. They got to come to me first. Look at all them hands going out. Look at all these greedy people putting their hands up. Guys, I'm telling you right now, the money is not your issue. You find the deal, the money will come if you open your mouth. But it's got to be a deal. I'd do this deal. If it was a partner, if I had a mentoring student and they wanted me to put up the money for this deal, I'd do it in a heartbeat. Why? Let's find out why. This is John's deal? Where are you at, John? Okay. Let's say I got this. I didn't get any better deal. I'm telling you right now, I know I can get them less than 20 down. Let's say I had to put 20 down and I bought it for the 350. I'd put it on the market on a lease option for $429,900. Okay. Now, I'm telling you right now, I won't get $50,000 down for most of the people who call me. So make no mistake, you've got to go through a lot of crap to get to the cream if you're getting the big bucks. I turned down six people on that house I showed you this morning because the most any of them had was $25,000. I didn't turn him down. I put him on hold. And finally, somebody came along with 50. It took me 2 months, guys, to find that 50, but I was willing to wait. And I was willing to make that payment rather than take less because I learned a long time ago. You put people in the house that don't give you much money, it's just a problem you're creating for later. I want the money. That's my big payday. Beautiful house like this. I'm going to wait till the market gives me the money. Could be on the first person that goes through there, especially in a market like we have today. But I'm not going to settle for less than 40. I'd rather hold the keys and make the lousy $1,000 payment than let somebody in there with less than $40,000. Are we clear?
Yes.
Hello? Okay. So that means they owe me $390. And I owe out, I don't owe out $350, do I? If I paid $350 and I gave them $20, I only owe $330, right? And of course, I don't get to keep this $40, I only get to keep $20 of it. So I'm up $20,000 on the front end because the seller wants $20 down. All right. But look at that back end. I got a $60,000 back end immediately. But here's the thing. I'm going to get at least $2,000 a month rent out of this thing. John, I don't suppose you would have any idea what this house would rent for, would you?
$2,500.
I bet you it would. Rentometer.com. Rentometer.com will give you an idea what it'll rent for. You will never use that number. You can always get more than that number. I agree with you. This is a $2,500 house all day long. Okay, and now I'm paying out $1,000. That's a $1,500 a month positive cash flow, John, that you don't deserve or earn. So do you want that to go long-term or short-term? long term. So I'm not even going to mention any kind of a balloon when I'm talking to the seller on this thing. I'm just going to say, I'm going to pay you $1,000 a month until you're paid in full. And that's going to include taxes and insurance. So whatever's left goes toward their principal. I'm not going to mention interest unless they bring it up. Who wants to bring that up? They got to have interest. Do they have to have interest? No. You'll be shocked how many people can care less about interest. But what if they bring it up? Who wants to be the seller that's bringing up interest? Who would dare? Huh? Where'd Jimmy go? I had Jimmy up here to pick on. Where'd he go? Okay. So you're asking me, what about interest? All right, pull a mask down so I can understand you. All right, well, what interest? Why do you need interest? No, I usually don't pay interest. If I pay you interest, gosh, banks charge interest. You're not a bank, are you? You don't have the overhead of a bank. And you know, if I pay you interest, you're going to have to pay taxes on it. Don't you pay enough taxes? Is interest really that important to you? Or would you rather just focus on the payment and getting the house sold? Okay. No, you just quit too easy. That's all. If she insists on interest, okay, well, if I give you interest, then can we do away with that down payment? Crap. Well, then what are we going to do about that price? Got to do something. Will you lower the price if I give you interest?
No, I want to keep the price.
So you're telling me if I don't give you interest, you won't sell me the house?
Let me talk to my aunt.
Well, your aunt don't own the house. You do. What is she going to tell you? Huh? I'm okay with giving you interest, but I got to change the deal because I made it assuming there was no interest. But just for the record, if you did have to have interest, what would it be?
Oh, I think I'd want going rate.
What's that?
2%.
2%? That much? Do I really give a rat's ass if I got to give her 2% interest? Frankly, I'm just playing the game with her right now. If I have to give her 2%, so be it. Who cares? All right. So anyway, that's the deal we're doing. Now, what if they won't take anything but cash, John? John, you better be listening to me. He ain't going to make you any money. See, he still ain't listening to me. All right.
If he doesn't want the deal, Ronald, you'll be happy.
Oh, I'm sure.
I'll listen.
Okay. John, you listening? Okay, we know the house is worth $400. We said this morning we could pay up to 80% of that if it's in excellent shape, didn't we? All right, so that would be how much? 80% of $400, John. $320, okay. But they're asking $350. So now what we have is a multiple offer strategy deal. So we go back to the seller and say, listen, the most we can come up with is about $310 if you want it cash. That's offer number one is $310 cash. But we'll close next week or the week after if you like. Now, if that's not okay with you, then we can go ahead and buy it on terms. And I can come real close to what you're asking, $350, but we got to do something about that down payment because we usually buy with nothing down. So how close to nothing can you get? And then I'll let the seller decide. So the seller gets to choose which one they want. They might spend so much time figuring out which one they want. It don't occur to them. They don't have to take either one of them. It's called multiple offer strategies. So if they want cash, what am I going to do with it? In my case, I'm going to write them a check for the $310. And then what am I going to do with it? I'll have the sucker listed the next day on the market. And what will I list it for? $429.9. Will that work for you? Will that work for you? Huh? There's no way I can make $100,000 on this house without having to renovate it. That just ain't kosher and it should be illegal. But it ain't. Okay? All right, you guys are going to want to hit me with more questions now, aren't you? All right. Go ahead, you were first. They have to sell because of probate. They're going to want an all-cash deal. But that means you're going to pay them what you want to pay them, not what they want. Guys, we're not in this to help the sellers solve their problem and create one for us. So we either get what we get a deal or we don't do it at all for paying cash. Now, what if I don't have the cash? Jeez, I'm offering $310,000 cash and I don't have the money. It's enough to make your pantyhose pucker up, ain't it? What do you do? What do you do? Huh? Well, first of all, you'd put it under contract with a 30-day closing. Does that give you plenty of time to talk to the people around you that's got $310,000 in their IRA that would love to get a great rate of return on their money? Because that's where your money's going to come from. Other people, not mortgage brokers, not loan sharks. People, humans. And you're doing them a huge favor by allowing them to lend $320,000 on this house. We always borrow more than we need. Okay? So you borrow it, accruing interest, no monthly payments, and I don't care what interest rate you pay them. It's irrelevant for the amount of time you're going to own this house. And in fact, you need to put a kicker in here. Once I sell this house, I'm going to pay you an extra $2,000 on top of your interest. Are you going to have any trouble getting people with money sitting in a bank account not knowing what to do with it to fund that deal for you? They get a first mortgage on the property, on a property worth at least $370,000, $400,000. Is that a good deal for them? Yes. Guys, you need to quit worrying about you need to worry about getting money. You can worry about getting the deals. Believe me, the money will come. Yes. Well, that's this plan over here. That's exactly what I'm doing. If I buy it on terms, I'm going to sell it on terms. If I buy it for cash, I'm going to sell it for cash. And pay the taxes. They don't get it all. And remember, the more property you own, the more of that gain is offset by that depreciation. No, trust me, they get more than they deserve. Yeah, correct. Yes. Sell what back end? Why would I do that? Why do you want to screw up a perfectly good deal? I want to sell that. No. Look, I got $20,000 up front. I got $1,000, $1,500 a month cash flow. Good enough is good enough. Okay. You know, pigs get fat, hogs get slaughtered. Oh, she's got a big old fat hog. What's his name?
Oliver. He's very cute.
Yeah, he's very cute. Yeah. Okay. Are we done with that one? Okay. John, you need to follow up on this. I hope you get a mentor today because our mentor can do the work for you if you follow up. There's two of them sitting right here. And both of them are acquainted with the deal.
I'll get this to you again. All right.
What's next?
This guy was fun.
This guy was fun? Okay. Give me the facts. This is Angela's deal. Angela, can't read the last name.
So we had a really, really nice conversation. He called me a scam about three times.
But he was friendly.
He told me his name, what was it, Don Williams?
Don Williams.
So I asked him to sing me a song, and things lightened right up after. He was in the room when I said that, and he looked at me. But I was asking if Don Williams would sing to me, and he said, that Don Williams. I said, okay, thank you. We went back and forth for a little bit. He said he's absolutely not going to do any sort of terms because he's heard of these scam things. And if I've been doing this for 15 or 20 years, he wanted to have me send him something in writing. Ron and I did talk about that. And I said to him, you know, if you do have to have all cash, I need a pretty good deal on that. So what's the least you'll take? I believe he came back with $315.
Okay.
And we chatted a little while longer and going back and forth. We got into, he asked me where I was from and some, you know, he started basically interviewing me on the phone, which was great. Brought up the fact that I was been a paramedic for 24 years, which is the truth, the absolute truth. And we went back and forth and all of a sudden I became a little more credible to him. And he said that, you know, he's not really not interested in the terms and he thinks that it's a really good idea, but he just wants to see anything that I can provide to him in writing. I know if you hang around Ron long enough, there's a letter that I will be sending to him, or whatever student will be sending to him or following up with. And at the end of the conversation, I said to him, I go, you're getting in the right direction on that 315, but if you really, really need to have all cash, it's probably going to have to be 300 or under to write a check. And he said, I might take 300. I said,
What a dumb thing to say, huh? Okay, you ain't getting a dime more than that now. But now what's it worth? What's the R?
Let me see that real quick, so I don't remember it.
She looked up the comps now. She knows how to look up comps, not
It was on Zillow 341-ish, and I've got it at 370.
370 is the R. But why? I don't understand why. I got to know why. Because I can't do anything if I don't know why. I'm talking to you thinker brains. You got to have every I dotted, every T. I got to know why. I don't care why. I only care what and how. Why would people just walk away their house and deed them to you, subject to? I don't know. Well, let's ask them after we buy. Probably debt relief would be my guess. So, guys, you better get used to not having the answers to everything you'd like to have the answers to. I don't care. If the house is worth 370, that's what it's worth. That's what it'll appraise for. Is that what I'm going to sell it for? Not even close. Probably 399 just to keep it under the 400 mark on the search engines. Does need a little work, though, doesn't it? What's this down here? Needs 10 or 12 work to some patio or something?
The back deck needed some work, and I think carpeting.
Carpeting in the house?
Carpeting in the house.
Okay, it's a 2,000 square foot house. 3-bedroom, 3-bath. It's probably a beautiful house. Needs a little bit of work. So that doesn't exactly qualify for my 80% plan where I, pay 80% on a house that doesn't need anything, does it? Okay, that don't seem like much work, and it probably isn't, but is it going to slow down my selling process? All right, slowing down my selling process means cost add up. If nothing else, are the taxes accruing? Have insurance. The longer I hold out a house, it comes right out of the profit. I don't imagine that's going to be a very long-term deal. But I promise you, before I closed on this thing, I'm going to have a contractor out there with ready to start this job as soon as I close. And that also gives me a reason not to close it next week, but at least 30 days before I close. I want to find out what this job's going to cost.
When I discussed the pricing with him, he does have other rentals and stuff, and he's very familiar with this market.
Uh-huh.
And he said straight out on the 10 to 12, he said that's probably today's pricing. He goes, I don't think it would be that expensive, but just getting a contractor right now to show up. So that's why he appraised it so high.
He's right. This might take a little time. Okay. Now, that actually wouldn't stop me from selling the house if that was a problem. I'd sell the house and probably sell it as is and let them fix it, because all homeowners need a project when they buy, don't they? Huh? That's not going to stop them from buying a house in today's market, especially when I'm offering on a lease purchase. But I might make a little concession to them. What's the most you can put down on this price range house? Probably $40,000, give or take. Okay, then I'll tell you what. You give me 30, you put the rest into that deck at the $399 price. Is that fair? You guys are so tired, you don't even know what I just said, do you? Look at them.
I always wondered what I looked like sitting in the crowd.
Yeah. So let's see. Can we give him his 300 if it's worth 370?
Oh, I'm sorry. I got a quick
80% of 370 is 296. But then we got those repairs. So we don't give him his 300. What do? We offer less. Okay. Who'd pay 290? Come on. We're paying 290. We're going to sell it for 400. It needs 10,000 to work.
Again, I don't think anybody wants
this deal. If you won't pay 290, what are you looking for? Yeah, you'll pay $290. You'll all pay $290. You're just, where am I going to get the money? Okay, if money wasn't the problem, who would pay $290? Okay, well, money ain't the problem. You still can't get them to raise their hand. All right. Now we're going to start. We're going to try terms, though, aren't we, as well? So here's the deal. Multiple offers. $290 cash, 30-day close, or why don't we offer them $325? He's asking. Oh, he's only asking $315.
No, he was asking $325.
Yeah, but
right.
Then he went down to $315 before
$315.
You started talking cash.
Yes.
So let's offer him $315. Okay? And you know what? Why don't we give him $10,000 down just to show good faith? All right? So that means, huh?
Yeah.
Might
temperature okay, paramedic?
I think.
All right.
I've never heard you just offer a down payment. I don't know.
Yeah, just, we'll try to
must
get
be
it.
In a good mood today.
Okay. So his house is free and clear because it says so. So we're going to let him tell us what payment he wants, but we'll give him $305 on terms or $290 cash. And then we'll work out the monthly payment because we didn't get that because you weren't talking terms.
He did not want to talk terms until...
So here it is. You're talking to the seller. And his name is whatever.
Don Williams.
Don. Okay, well, Don, listen. I can buy your house a couple of ways. I can buy it cash or I can make you a monthly payment till sometime in the future when I get you paid off. So, if I buy it cash, I know we talked $300,000, and we're close. We're close, but not quite there yet. What's the least you could take for cash? And then I say, I'll come back, and I can't pay you more than $290 cash. However, plan two is I'll give you $315,000 if you wait a little while to get your money. I'll give you a first mortgage for the... $315, or I'll give you $10 down, whatever you want to tell him, because I'm okay with $10 down, frankly. I'll give you a first mortgage, and all you and I got to agree upon is a monthly payment and how long you're going to give me before you expect that thing to get paid off. So what's more important to you, the price you're selling it at or the amount you get today? Let him decide. Multiple offer strategy, because I'll take either one of them. Now, which one would I prefer? I prefer the terms because Don don't know it yet, but even if I get the terms deal, when I get ready to cash out, I'm going to go back to him and get him a discount anyway. That's the deal after the deal. And I'll probably get at least a big enough discount to cover. There's no way I'd pay off somebody $290,000 without getting at least $30,000, $40,000 discount. Okay, so you want me to negotiate that discount with you too, don't you? Huh? You're really testing me today. All right, what's your name?
Jeff.
Jeff, you're the seller? Hey, Jeff, you know that money that I owe you, it's been about a year ago now, and I promised I'd pay you off over a period of 5 years? Yeah? Well, I'm about to come into some money, and I am because I'm about to cash out of this house. Okay. but he don't know that. Okay, if he finds out that, this is over. John, and I got to decide what to do with it, Jeff. And then I thought about you. I'm always looking to pay off the people that I owe first. But for me to turn loose of that cash, which, I still owe you probably somewhere around $280,000, give or take. Oh, no. Somewhere around $300,000, give or take. I'm going to have to get a pretty substantial discount in order to give up that cash. I'm a real estate investor. There's a lot of things I can do with cash to get a very, very high rate of return. So if I were to pay you off, within the next few days or a couple of weeks, would you rather have cash now or you want to wait till I get to the end of my 5 years to pay you off? Cash now? I've never had one that didn't say that. Okay. Well, then what is the least you would take if I paid you cash now?
$260.
$260? I like this guy. Okay. $260. Ouch, man. Ouch. We got to do better than that now if you want this cash.
Okay.
Huh? Okay. So you're telling me if you don't get $260, you'd rather just wait the 5 years? Do you realize what you can do with 260 now to more than make up the difference over a four-year remaining period? Huh? Well, you know what? If you'll take less and you don't know what to do with the money, I'll borrow it back from you and pay you 12% interest. Huh? Turn him into a private lender. You don't know what to do with the money. So anyway, he told me 260. Didn't I just get a $45,000 discount in seconds? How? I let him speak. I didn't name the price. He opened his big mouth and gave me the big discount. So God bless him. And almost never will they not take less than the number they give you. This is a fun game we play, especially when we have nothing to lose, no personally guaranteed debt, and we're building an empire, we're building wealth without risk. Okay?
Here's Kate. Kate's moving out today. The movers were there when I was talking to her.
Okay, where are we at anyway? Louisville. Okay, Kate's asking 250 down to 245.
Kate's asking 250 down to 245.
Okay.
She owes 200. I actually asked her, Ron.
She sell for what she owes.
Will you sell for what you owe?
And she said no.
She said no.
All right. It's a four-bedroom,
two and a half
1830 square feet. Good shape, I assume?
Perfect shape.
Perfect shape. Okay. Moving out today, which means it's now vacant.
It's going to be vacant.
All right, which means Kate's also making a $1,400 a month payment on a vacant property going
Correct.
Into Christmas. This is a good time of the year. All right. Now, Kate wants all cash, though, doesn't she?
She does.
She wants 245. Okay. What's 80% of 300, guys? 240. She wants 240, right. She wants 245. Are we close? All right. But do you smell that we can actually get it cheaper than 245 or even 240 with cash? Okay. How will we know if they are going to accept our offer? Well, first we have to make one, don't we? How much does it cost to make an offer? Okay. What happens if they don't accept? Nothing. What happens if they do accept? But even if they don't accept, do they now come back and you see where their head is? Yes? Okay. So offer number one is not 245. Offer number one is 225 cash. That's better than 80%, isn't it? And that's 80% of the ARV, not 80% of what I'd sell it for. All right. So if she says, no, okay, well, listen, then I'll give you 245. And I'll make you a monthly payment of $1,400 a month. I'll make your payment for you. Till sometime in the future when I can pay off the balance. Gosh, she don't have very much money coming as it is. So that's offer two, is I'll give her asking price. As long as she let me in with little or nothing down. In this case, there's also an offer three. She owes 200. She wants 245. Why don't I just offer her $20,000 cash to mortgage? Means I pay her $20,000 and then take over her debt. Let her decide. This one was little or nothing down. This one's all cash. This one's with $20,000 and she's out. She owes $200. So I'd be buying it for $220. Will any one of these work? Huh? Well, obviously she ain't going to take this one over this one. So I got to restructure one of these. You know, she'd be foolish to take this one over this one. So actually that one's out. If I offer $225 cash, that gives her $25,000 and pays off her debt. Because paying off her debt might be is more important to her than getting that $25,000. So how am I going to know which one she favors the most? Ask her. I go at her one at a time. Which one would I prefer to get? I prefer to get this one with terms, with little or nothing down. Even if I had to put a short-term balloon in it. Now listen to me. Should you always know your exit strategy before you go in the entrance? Okay, what's my exit strategy on this? If I have to give her a short-term balloon, say 2 years, I only got one exit strategy. Sell the thing for cash. Okay, I'm buying it for $245. I'll put it on the market for $319.9, cash out of it, and then discount her. If she will give me a longer term, then I'll put a lease option tenant buyer in there. Get a down payment of $25,000 or so and collect monthly payments. I don't know how much, $2,000 at least, and take longer to cash out of it. So however I get in is going to determine how I get out. But if I have a short fuse, cashing out is my only choice. Yes? Are you asking me if I ever refinance? Wash his mouth out with soap. Under no circumstances are you ever to refinance a house and personally guarantee the debt. To pay off non-recourse debt with guaranteed debt is ignorant. Do not do that. This deal is not worth that. And remember, when you refinance, all you're doing is getting some cash that you're going to spend quickly, and the debt's going to go on for a long period of time. You're just building yourself a trap. It's called a cash flow shuffle. Buy, refinance, buy, refinance, buy, refinance. Sooner or later, you're going to stop buying, and now you got all this debt. You pulled out 80% of the value of the property. And now, especially if the market turns, you're in deep caca and headed for bankruptcy court. How do you think I learned all this? Well, I've never done that one, but I've seen a lot of people go down by doing the refinance game. We do not refinance. Why would I refinance anyway? I put this thing on the market on a lease purchase and pull out $25,000. Why would I even need to refinance? Go get another deal. Okay, so is this the three?
Those are the three that I have the...
So let me get this straight. You talked to five people and three of them are potentials?
Yeah.
You're screwing up my averages.
I'm sorry.
Oh, okay.
I'll do better.
You
do or better. Worse.
All right. And then he talked to 10 people and got squat.
Wait. This, but I'm having a good day here. I guess I cheated because I was concerned about what we had. So I called one of my students. I got some yes leads from the VA. I got three yes leads. I've got two deals.
No kidding.
I did. I got one terms deal and one subject to.
Oh, quickly, because I'm
quickly.
Not out of time.
Just cover
the
that.
Subject to
so,
deal?
Yeah, cover the name. I don't want that.
You don't trust these people?
No, I don't.
All right.
That's not fair to my student.
Okay, well, at least tell me where this thing is at. Where are we?
We're in Ohio.
Ohio. Okay, so Ohio student. All right. So the asking price is what? 133? And wait a minute. They owe 140. Why are they asking 133?
Let me see.
Doesn't make any sense.
I didn't get that.
So they're going to sell for what they owe is the point.
They sell it for what they
okay.
owe, correct.
In fact, look at there. It says that right there when they were asked the question. And it's only got a $1,400 payment on it. And the
correct.
ARV is what? 160?
About 160.
And its condition is good.
Condition
no
is
repairs.
Good. Yep.
And they're going to move out whenever you buy it.
It's correct.
Three bedroom, one bath, 1,748 square foot brick house with a two-car attached garage. Holy smokes. So they'll just let you go in. Pay the closing costs and buy the house.
Correct.
Take over the debt.
There's no negotiation on that. I mean, there's nothing
there's
down.
Nothing to negotiate. They sell for what they owe.
They're selling it for what they're owed. They did not give me any sort of end date. So, of course, I didn't ask.
There is no end date.
Right.
If you're taking over the mortgage, you're going to whatever it says is what you're going to do. There is no balloon in it. So this is a deal you got for Simone.
Correct.
One of your students.
Correct.
Okay.
She's going to be a happy girl when I get on the phone with her.
Oh, she don't even
that's
know it?
Simone
oh, it's another one of hers. Holy
yeah,
smoke.
She don't know it yet. She did, but she was nice enough to text me some stuff, and I was just concerned if we'd get enough lead sheets or not.
Okay. Now, this one, you got an asking price of 2.25, and the ARV is what?
About 240.
About 240. But they owe 60, payments 850.
And he's stuck on that
so yes,
225.
Lead. Okay, no repairs. It's vacant. And they're already moved. It's a three-bedroom, two-and-a-half bath, 1,450 square foot, brick house, two-car garage. And what's the deal? They want 10 down?
10 down, 1,000 a month. He said 3 to 5, so I heard 5.
Right. Well, that's correct.
Right.
So, well, that's
and
it's
good
right.
enough to look at, or we're going to go
yeah.
take a...
Yeah, well, on a $240,000 house, $10,000 down payment, I frankly wouldn't argue with them too much about it. I would ask him, listen, I usually buy with nothing down. How close to nothing can you get? You guys should be writing that down. Those are golden words, whether you know it or not. Okay? And let's see if he'll come down. I ain't going to press him too hard. Well, okay. If I put down $10,000, I'm okay with your monthly payment. Why wouldn't I be at $1,000? Then what can we do about the price there? Can we get that down some? That's all there is to the negotiating. And then you do that when you get in the house. So let's say we buy it as is, 2.25. He wants 2.25.
We'll not negotiate off that. And I got off that quickly because that was like a real hot button of his.
Okay, 240 you think it's worth. So we're going to put this on the market for at least $249.9, probably more. That's at least a $25,000 down payment. So this tenant buyer owes her $225. Okay, if she only collects $25 and has to pay the $10, then she gets $15 profit up front. But this thing has got to be worth how much per month do you think? Your guess, 1450 square feet, probably $2,000 a month. Think that's fair? Huh? It's in Washington Heights. Or no. Akron. This one's in Akron. All right. I don't know what they're... Anyway, nice monthly spread. Just another deal. Boring. Until it becomes your deal. Then it ain't so boring. All right. She'll love your call. I bet she loves you, don't you?
She does love me.
Uh-huh. All right.
So
so that is all of them we got, right?
That was it.
Okay.
If the three people that were here, if they could meet me in the back, Mike.
Yeah, you three that are here, you got to go pick up these lead sheets.
And John, I want to talk to you guys real quick before.
Because I'm going to turn these two loose and let them go home. They both got a long drive. And I want you to show them your love for driving down here for you. And we really appreciate it.
You're welcome. Hey, we'll be in Jacksonville next week.
Jacksonville next week?
Yep. Both
Bring
of you will.
Bring lead sheets. Bring lead sheets.
Yeah, you got plenty of time to get them now. Okay. Thank you again, guys. All right. A couple more questions here. Let's see what we got. How many tenants have you needed to evict? I already answered that one. Where do you find non-recourse debts? What's the answer? What's the answer? Is buying subject to non-recourse? If I just take over the debt, seller walks away and deeds me the house, is it even my debt? It's their debt. If it's their debt, it's non-recourse. If I buy it on a wraparound mortgage, it's non-recourse unless I personally guarantee the note. Am I going to personally guarantee the note? Not in this lifetime. So if I don't guarantee the note, it's non-recourse. Remember, who's signing the note? The trustee, as trustee, is signing the note. No liability to the trustee for anything that has to do with the trust. So it's non-recourse. If I lease option the house from myself and intend to sublease it, what entity should do the lease option? Your LLC. Your LLC, not you. So there's no recourse. Everything we do is non-recourse. And there's nobody can tell you when you bought too many houses. Can you explain it? Wait a minute, I did that one already as well. Okay, let's talk about not paying taxes. Do you want to? All right, I've got three ways for you not to pay taxes. Now, the first one you've already heard about, and that's your IRA. Can you buy houses in your IRA? Yes, you can. And you got two IRA companies that I saw sitting right outside the door. And I've dealt with both of them. I used Equity Trust for a long time. And then today I use Quest. And they're both out in the hallway. I got away from Equity Trust for various reasons we don't even need to discuss. But there's nothing wrong with Equity Trust. Now, you got to have the rules. You got to know the rules about buying in your IRA. And I'm sure there's people here talking about it, by the way. One of the biggest rules that you better not break is self-dealing. Self-dealing simply means that your IRA cannot be compensated. You cannot be compensated for anything you do in your IRA. Except when you take it out when you're ready to retire. You cannot make any money personally from any deal you do inside your IRA. You means you, it means your spouse, and it means both of you's linear descent up and down. Parents, grandparents, children, grandchildren, nobody in that group can be compensated for any of the activities of your IRA. If in fact they are, it's self-dealing. The penalty for self-dealing can, probably will be, annulment of your IRA, which means you pay taxes and penalties from the day you started that thing on all the money you thought was tax-free. A Roth IRA is tax-free when you take the money out, which is the IRA I suggest you get. It's a Roth IRA. So in other words, you can go make all the money you want inside that Roth IRA and never pay taxes on it, period. I don't mean deferred, I mean never. Your traditional is deferred, your Roth is never. Now, again, I'm not going to go into that in detail right now, but I teach to have your IRA own an LLC and then have all the money go in and out of your LLC to keep from having to go back and forth with Quest and Equity Trust, both of which are a pain in the ass. Okay, keep the money in your own LLC and all the money goes in and out of your LLC, which is owned 100% by your IRA, but you still have to comply with the IRA rules. Now, another rule is that you can't borrow or lend to your IRA, and neither can anybody in that protected group. And there's a problem doing these terms deals in your Roth IRA. If you do a deal in your Roth IRA that comes with debt, that means subject to or a wraparound mortgage or a private loan, or you create debt on that property after it's in your IRA, which you can do, your IRA can borrow private money as long as it's non-recourse, and that's what it's going to be anyway from a private lender that you're borrowing from. But the minute it borrows money, or the minute the debt is created on that property, it's going to trigger UBIT when you sell that property. That's unrelated business income tax. In other words, your IRA is going to pay taxes when you sell, if in fact there's debt related to that property. Does everybody understand what I just said? Hello? Okay. So you probably don't want to do terms deals in your Roth IRA. But you can do lease options in there. You can lease option from the seller and sublease to the tenant buyer. That's not considered debt, and there will be no UBIT. You can do wholesale deals all day. You can do rehab deals, as long as the IRA has got the money to buy and rehab the property. But if the IRA borrows the money to do that, then it will trigger UBIT. There is one exception, and that's if the the loan on the property is paid off for at least a year before you sell, then it won't trigger UBIT. That rule went into effect in 2010. Don't worry, I got a solution for that, but terms deals probably are not going to go in your Roth IRA. Now, even if they did go in your Roth IRA and you did have to pay taxes, the good news is the remainder stays in your Roth IRA and grows tax-free forever for the rest of your life. Tax-free is better than taxed, and I'll show you how much better. Very simple. I don't care how much money you invest, pick a number. Let's say you invest that money at a 15% annual rate of return, which you can do that in a darn mutual fund, for 10 years. Now let's say you do that outside your IRA and you pay taxes on the gain throughout that 10 years. All right? Now let's do the same thing inside your IRA, but you don't pay taxes on the gain and you keep investing the profits. In 10 years, you literally have 10 times more money in your IRA than you would have outside your IRA, paying taxes as you go. Do your own math sometime. Try to do your own calculations, and you'll see how important it is that you do this tax-free for as long as the government's going to let you anyway. Because I'm almost positive that they're going to screw up this IRA thing. They're trying already, you know, to screw it up. You better take advantage of it while you can. Your Roth IRA was not created for you to buy real estate in it, leveraging your brain, turning it into millions of dollars tax-free. That's not why they created the Roth. They want you to be a slave, contribute to the Roth, contribute till you die, and then you have a meager retirement. You ain't going to live long enough to contribute $6,000 a year to your IRA and make it worth much. The whole goal is you use your IRA to do the deal instead of you doing the deal. Put up a $100 deposit from your IRA, tie up a property, go flip it, make $30,000. $30,000 goes into your IRA tax-free. That's not what they intended when they created the IRA. But it's perfectly legal. And if you don't think that works, go ask Equity Trust or Quest, because both of them have people with millions of dollars in their IRA who are doing it through real estate. In fact, I know Quest wants you to do real estate, because the bigger you grow your IRA, the more fees they get to make. So it's in their best interest. They're specialized in it, and real estate investors. So your IRA is one way. Now, how many of you have a traditional IRA? How many of you have an IRA, period? Okay, if you don't have an IRA, go start one while you're here, for crying out loud. You don't need but a few bucks to start an IRA. You don't have to contribute $6,000. But then the key, remember, is use that IRA to buy a property. How much money do you need in your IRA to flip a deal? $100. Because they're going to want you to put up at least a $100 deposit. So it looks legitimate. Okay? Put up $100, flip a deal, here comes $20,000-$30,000. Okay. Do a lease option. Again, if I lease it from the seller instead of buy it and sublease it, I make the same amount of money. Now, if I do it in my IRA, that's not taxable. So if I got a good deal and I want to put it in my IRA and I could buy it with owner financing, I might choose just to buy it on a lease purchase for that reason. By the way, when I lease property from the seller, they get no money. There's no money exchanges hands, period, and there are no closing costs. Didn't talk about that, did we? All right. So your IRA is one way you can do tax-free. All right. And there is another way. It's called a solo 401k. In order to have a solo 401k, you've got to have an LLC, and it can't have more employees in it than husband and wife, which is probably the case for most of you anyway. Now, the cool thing about a solo 401k is you can go open one. Your bank probably open one for you. You don't need Quest or Equity Trust to do it, and I don't think they do it anyway. But when you open a solo 401k, you can contribute up to $60,000 a year to it. Not that that's important. I don't care if you contribute to it or not. But open it as a Roth, because you've got a choice. You can treat it as a Roth. You can treat it as a traditional. I can't imagine why anybody would want to treat it as traditional, with the exception that they get to write off their contribution on a traditional, where they don't get to write it off on a Roth, because when they take it out on a Roth, they pay taxes on it, so they're not going to let you get write off, avoid the taxes. On a traditional, you don't pay taxes on it going in, because you do pay taxes on it coming out. You want the Roth. Treat it as a Roth. Means no taxes when you take the money out. Now, you can borrow up to $50,000 or half of what the amount is in it every year. But I got to caution you, that's the worst place you'd ever want to borrow money from, is your IRA or your solo 401k. Because every dollar you borrow out of that thing is a dollar that's not growing tax-free. That's some very expensive money. But you can. And then here's the big one. A solo does not trigger UBIT. So you can do terms deals in your solo, and you have no taxes when you take the money out, whether they come with debt or not. And with a UBIT, you control the checkbook. You control the checkbook legally by the IRS terms. That's a very, very simple annual filing. It's usually a one-page report. So a lot of advantage to a solo 401k. Why not have both? Why not have both? Okay. And then, okay, what I'm about to show you won't get anywhere else on the planet, so you better pay close attention to this one. In fact, this one's probably not going to hit you until about 3 a.m. this morning. Because Yeah, you can have both.
And a Roth IRA.
And a Roth IRA. You can have more than one Roth IRA. You can have a Roth and a traditional, although I don't know why you'd want a traditional. Anybody in here think they don't qualify for a Roth? Okay. Everybody qualifies for a Roth. If you make too much money and they tell you you don't qualify for a Roth, open a traditional. Put $1,000 in it and then transfer it to the Roth. Because it makes no difference how much money you make when you're transferring from a traditional to a Roth. The only restricting reason you can't have a Roth is because if you make more than $160,000-$170,000 a year, you can't contribute to a Roth. Therefore, you can't open one with conventional wisdom. I don't care. I don't need to contribute. I want to transfer from my traditional. Now, I got to pay taxes on that $1,000. Whoop-de-doo. Transfer the traditional to a Roth, kill the traditional, now I got a Roth. Okay, I can't contribute anymore to it as long as I'm in a high income tax bracket, but can I take that money and now make a lot of money with it, which is really the whole purpose of doing it anyway. Guys, it's not about, you might as well sit down. I'm not going to take questions every time you raise your hand. Sit down until I'm done, and I'll take some. So it's not about how much I contribute. It's what I do with that IRA to make money in it. You might want to take a photo of this. Probably are going to want to get out your camera and take a screenshot of this. Might take you a minute or two to understand it. Oh, well, look at that. Ain't that something? Nikki was ahead of me on that one. Nikki, what day this month do you celebrate your 18th anniversary? What up? Who are you clapping for, her or me? All right. Here we go. Let's say you're about to cash out. Who's about to cash out of a house? Anybody about to cash out of a house? Not your residence now. This will not work on your residence. Okay. All right. In your example at the top, you'll notice that we're about to cash out of a house worth about $300, and we're going to get $100 cash out of it. Obviously, we're going to know that well in advance, aren't we? It's like one of my tenant buyers has told me they're about to cash out. Okay, so I know I'm going to get $100,000. Now, on a 1031 exchange, first of all, I don't know where that term came from because it has nothing to do with exchanging. I don't have to swap properties with somebody to do an exchange. All I have to do is put it in my agreement that I intend to do a 1031 exchange and then go out and buy another property with the money I get out of the sale. And then I don't pay taxes until I actually cash out of that whatever property whenever I cash it out. That's a 1031 exchange. That's a traditional 1031 exchange. All right. All we're doing is adding a little bit of creative juices and what we know about owner financing to the 1031 exchange. So I'm about to get $100,000. All right? That tells me that I got to go out and I got to buy three houses with owner financing and get rid of that $100,000 in the form of down payments. Not cash outs, down payments. So I got $100,000 to buy three houses and put into down. Now we get houses all the time with nothing down. So that means I got to explain to the seller, I have to give you a down payment. Sorry. And they're pretty good size down payments. So in my example, we're going to take that $100,000, we're going to go out, and we're going to buy a $300,000 house and give them $25,000 down. That's house one. Then we're going to go buy house two, and it is a $500,000, $600,000 house, and we're going to give them a $50,000 down payment. Guys, you can buy those all day long with a $50,000 down payment. And then we're going to buy a $500,000 house and give them a $25,000 down payment. So in reality, we're going to go out and buy $1.4 million worth of houses and use up our $100,000. Now, why don't people do more exchanges? Answer, they don't want to give up the $100,000. They want to use it. Okay, I'll show you how you can have your cake and eat it too. So I've went out and I've put under contract three houses. By the way, I have 45 days from the day that first house closes to name these other three houses. To name them. And I got 180 days to close on them. And I don't have to do three. But I want to do three or more. I can do more. So I've given up a $300,000 house, but what have I acquired? $1.4 million worth of houses. So far, it looks like I'm doing okay. I've given up a $300 a month cash flow, but I've exchanged it for a $1,600 a month cash flow because, obviously, what am I going to do with these three houses? I'm going to put tenant buyers in them. So let's look. When I put tenant buyers in the houses, what do I get in exchange? Great big fat deposits, don't I? All right. Isn't it true the higher priced house I put on the market, the bigger deposit I get? Yes?
Yes.
All right. And what kind of shape are these houses in? All good shape. House one, I figure I'm going to get at least a $30,000 deposit on the $300,000 house. House two, I'm going to get a $75,000 deposit on a $600,000 house all day long. And incidentally, just so we're clear, if I've got great credit and I go to the bank and I want to buy a $600,000 house, how much cash do I need? Down. $120,000. So if you're sitting out there and you're saying, who's got $60,000 to put down? The answer is anybody looking at a $600,000 house, or they wouldn't be looking. I don't need 120. I'm just saying I'm going to get 60. So I get 60 down. I'm sorry, 75 down. And on the third house, I'm going to get 50 down on a $500,000 house. All very, very reasonable numbers. So in reality, didn't I collect $155,000? Hello?
Yes.
Okay, how much did I give up? $100,000. Okay, but here's the cool part. That $155,000 has nothing to do with this 1031 exchange. It is over the day I close on the purchase of those three houses. I get to do whatever the heck I want with that $155,000. It's my money. So, Ron, are you telling me we actually came out with more cash than we went in with? Yes. We've got four times the amount of property. We got four times the cash flow, five times the cash flow. And it's all tax-free. God bless the IRS. And when both husband and wife pass and leave this to their children, they get to start all over with a stepped-up basis. So, next time you get ready to cash out, you're going to remember this, aren't you? Because if you cash out and don't do an exchange, you're going to pay the taxes on the $100,000. But that's not even the worst part. Why would I not do this when I can quadruple my assets and my cash flow? Now, what's going to happen to these three houses down here when these tenant buyers get ready to cash me out? I'm guessing there are going to be three more circles down there, aren't you? Huh? It's going to look like an Amway chart after a while. And then I can do this for the rest of my life. Rest of my life. Y'all get it? Huh? Okay. Well, if you get it, I'm about to find out how much you got it. By taking your questions on it. Yes? What's that? All the money that I collect on the non-refundable option deposits, the $155,000, probably going to get taxed that year because it's non-refundable. Talk with your CPA. In fact, you ought to talk to John Heyer. Boy, he can answer that question for you. He's here. In fact, don't you see him tonight? No. He's over there with a mastermind group. Huh?
But that's the better option.
Would you rather pay the taxes on the $155,000 and get $1.4 million worth of houses and $1,600 a month, or just go ahead and pay the taxes on the $100,000 and be done with it? Yeah. You pay the taxes on the $155,000. But you won't pay taxes on the rest of them, the sales, when they cash you out. Question way back.
So the 155 is part of the future purchase, credited toward the future purchase, correct?
The 155 is, of course, you've got to give the tenant buyers credit for that toward their down payment on the houses if and when they buy them. Huh? There is no taxes, period, if you do the same thing again when you're cashed out. Once one of those three houses cashes out, you're going to go get three more, right? Okay. That's the plan. You don't have to. You can always pay taxes anywhere you want along the line. But your capital gain rates are, I promise you, by this time next year, your capital gain rates are going to be higher than they are right now. And incidentally, they're after 1031 exchanges, too. So who knows what they're going to do. Yes, ma'am. Those deposits were not part of the 1031. Why? I already closed on the property. When I closed on those three houses, the 1031 is over. Now, you're going to have an intermediary, of course, and the intermediary has got to be part from the very beginning, and they'll communicate with your closing agent, and they hold all the money. They don't hold that 155, though. They only hold the 100 until you use it for the other three houses. Yes? Yeah. Well, I don't know anything about equity trust, the first part of it. You can't do exchanges in your IRA. Nor why did you need to? You're already tax free. I put everything in trust. One house, one trust. All three of those houses are a different land trust. You establish a new trust every time you buy a house. It's no big deal. Okay? There's a warranty deed to trustee and there's a trust agreement. The warranty deed is the one the attorney fills out and records, a trust agreement. You go home and take 3 minutes and fill it out and stick it in your filing cabinet. And nobody knows who the beneficial interest is but you, which is one of the big advantages of a trust, privacy. And nobody can even find out unless you tell them. It's nowhere on public record. Yes? Whoever owns them. On those three houses that I buy, they're probably going to come with mortgages, aren't they? If they do, they've already got an escrow account. There was already a mortgage on that house for $351,000. It was collecting taxes and insurance. When I make a payment, I'm paying my taxes and insurance. I don't have to worry about any of that. Yep. Anybody behind me here? Yes, sir. No, I'm not. He says, don't I have to exchange the whole 300K? I'm not getting 300K. I'm only getting 100K.
But it says the
house was worth 300K.
Okay. Well, it just says the house sold for
300K. Right, but I only get 100. So that 100 is all I got to dispose of. I can't dispose of money I don't have. The 100 is the only thing I'd be paying taxes on. In this example. I can't hear but half what you're saying. Mortgage has nothing to do with my taxability of this house. You're not taxed on how much you borrow. You're taxed on the difference between what you paid for the house and what you sold the house for, subtracting out the depreciation you took along the way. What's owed on it, totally irrelevant to the taxes, to the income taxes we're talking about on the property. So this example just assumes there was a $100,000 profit coming out of that house because that's what you get taxed on.
Okay, but my question was, if you have a mortgage on that $100,000,
the mortgage has nothing to do with the exchange. Nothing. I assume that this thing had a $200,000 mortgage on it, and that's why I only got $100,000. But that still has nothing to do with the tax part of it, the IRS part of it. In this house, the mortgage is going to get paid off anyway because the house is getting cashed out, isn't it? Yes? No, you can exchange any real estate for any real estate. But the goal now is to not just to do away with the taxes. The goal is to increase my empire. Okay. So if I could take that $100,000 and go buy a $1.4 million building with it that would produce $1,600 a month positive cash flow, I could do that too, couldn't I? But you're not going to do that without owner financing. So the owner financing is the key that none of your tax professionals have any clue about, nor does your attorneys. See, they cash for cash is all they know. So when we combine owner financing into this picture, we get to expand our horizons because we're leveraging all that money that the owner's taking back with owner financing. We don't have to come up with it for cash. And when you start figuring out rates of return, you know that the less money you put into the deal, the higher your rate of return, right? Well, when you don't put any money into the deal, your return is infinity. Can't be measured. You have no investment. That doesn't mean you can't make money. We make money a lot of times without any of our money invested in it. Yes?
In this example, you've got the three houses that you're using.
Yes, got three houses.
You've indicated that there's a time period you have to name.
45 days after the sale of the first house to name the other three. So here's what you do. As soon as you get wind, house number one is going to sell, you go out and put the other three under contract. So now you can close on them right after you close house number one. You don't have to worry about the 45 days.
So my question is, if something happens with one of the three deals.
Okay. So all three of them doesn't close.
How do you salvage a 1031?
You still got 45 days to name another one,
okay.
Which is why it's nice to have them under contract before you close the first one. And worst case, you don't. Whatever you don't use of the 100 grand, you pay taxes on. That's it.
Is there a way you can put it into the other two to salvage it?
I suppose you could. Call the seller up, say, I can't give you 25 anymore. I got to give you 50. Sorry. Yeah, you could do that. Or you could call the seller up and say, listen, I've been thinking, what if I give you $50,000? How much more can you come down on that price? Sure, you could do that. But remember, if I only buy two houses, I'm still only expanding my value, my asset value, by those two and my cash flow by those two. Still better to buy three. All right, yes?
You said it was 45 days to name them, and how many days?
180 to close on them. And if you don't, you just lose the exchange. Yes?
So in a situation where you rehab a house for purchasing $400,000,
yeah.
$50,000
rehab,
yeah. $700,000.
Won't work, because that's a good point. This is not set up to do flips. This is set up for investments. Okay, you should probably hold this house a year or so before you even go into this exchange, because the IRS is not going to let you do this on business. Type property, anything you go rehab and put on the market is a business type property. I don't know there's any ironclad rule that says that, but that's the general consensus. Yes, ma'am.
So if we do all this inside of our IRA.
You can't do all this inside of your IRA because your IRA does not allow you to exchange properties, nor do you need to. It's already tax free. So you do this outside of your IRA. Way back. Right. Yeah, but if I'm going to flip that one, then I'm probably not going to do an exchange on it.
Because you're going to be
taxed. Because the IRS is not going to allow me to do this. I don't know what the IRS is thinking, or even if they do think. But this is not set up for flippers. And you probably can get away with anything once or twice. You know, you can rob banks till you get caught. Yes. Oh, you can. You can. You're just going to pay taxes on the gain when it sells.
Why?
Because it comes with debt. If it comes with debt, it triggers UBIT. Even in a Roth IRA? Well, it's only in a Roth IRA. Well, I don't know if it does. I'm sure it does in a traditional as well. Does not trigger you, but in a solo 401k, that's one of the big advantages for it. Question?
Yes.
No, real estate for real estate. Real estate for real estate. You guys know that you can buy business equipment now, still, which includes airplanes, and write them off 100% first year. How do I know? Yes, sir. Yes. Yes, they qualify for debt because it is debt. Even if it's non-recourse, it's debt. All right, anybody else? You guys wore out? Yes, sir. Your intermediary will collect, I think it's about $1,000 a house, something like that. Uh-uh. Well, I got to exchange up. I can't exchange down, but that's not a problem. No, the intermediary is going to charge me $1,000 for their fee. I'm going to put all $100,000 into these three properties. Or all of it I can. And I can. If I get three properties, I can easily give the sellers enough to make up for $100,000. Chai. These down payments, you buy all the houses you want with owner financing. Yes, sir. No. A 401k is just a retirement account. You pay taxes when you take it out, but most people aren't in control of their 401ks. You are in control of these other entities until you quit anyway. When you quit, you can force them to let you transfer your 401k to a traditional. And then if you want to transfer that to a Roth, you can. You know, they tried to get by with making the end of this year the last time you can transfer a traditional to a Roth. But it didn't go through, as far as I know. In fact, ask your IRA people that. Ask questions, because I was told it didn't go through. I hope it didn't go through. Yes?
I'm the intermediary.
Yeah.
You pay $1,000
per house. I pay $1,000 per house to the intermediary. Correct. Which is pretty cheap. All right. I don't know. I use some intermediary. It don't make any difference. There might even be one here. In fact, there probably is because you've got an exchange speaker here. That's a question you should ask them. They probably are an intermediary. That's my guess. I don't know. I don't know them. Yes? There's an exchange speaker here, you know. Good. Thank you. That's not my specialty, I can tell you that right now, and I don't even want to know, all right? But there are a few rules. I've got to exchange up, and I can go get more than three houses if I want, but there's some other factors in there. I can't even remember what they are. I think I got to exchange for at least 200% more than what my other one was, which ain't a problem here. But that's a question for your intermediary. All right. Whew. Are you done? I'm not done. No. Drugs are still working for me. I'm just kidding. I ain't never taken illegal drug in my life. Yes?
My question doesn't have to do with extension. When you buy a house, either coming to over the wraparound.
Yes.
And then you sell it on terms to a buyer.
Yes. Yes. You, whoever owns the house is whoever's paying for the insurance.
Okay, so if I'm selling on a contract and I'm a seller to a tenant buyer, I pay the insurance.
As soon as you buy the property, on the day you close, you should have your policy in effect, and you're going to use NREIG right outside. And they will probably contact the lender and give them the new policy and ask them to cancel the old one. And if they don't, then the seller has to contact them and tell them to do it. I don't care how you buy it. If you take title or on a land contract, it's your responsibility to insure it. Not true if you're leasing it with an option to buy. You insure only properties that you own. When you sell it, whether it be cash or on a land contract, your buyer has to get a policy to insure themselves and name you as one of the lenders on it. You're now the mortgagee.
Okay, thank you.
Yes, sir?
Do you have your tenant buyers get renter's insurance or anything?
Do I have my tenant buyers get renter's insurance? I don't. What do I care if they get renter's insurance? No. That only insures the stuff they have in the house. So, no, I don't. I don't have them get it. Yes? The problem with a lease option is I don't own the house. I mean, when I'm selling it, yes. Usually I can get it back quicker when I'm leasing it than I can when I sell it. But in some states, that's not true. Texas is one of them. Texas is one of the fastest foreclosing states in the union. And frankly, it doesn't take that long to get them back on a land contract in most places, which is why they prefer land contracts. But there's one big catch. If you sell that thing on a land contract, you can't depreciate it anymore because you don't own it. And there's another big catch. If I buy that thing and I sell it within a year on a land contract, it's short-term capital gains. Even if it takes me years to collect, I'm still paying twice as much in taxes, most likely, depending on what tax bracket I'm in, on the portion of the principal that I collect every month. So I don't like selling with owner financing. I want a lease with an option to buy, retain ownership, retain the appreciation, depreciation, and all of that. You know, unless I live in Cincinnati. Yes. I just answered that. The minute you take title to a house, you got to get it insured. Right outside the door, NREIG. No. No. There's nobody down at the lender. There's no insurance department down at the lender that's sitting beside the due-on-sale department. So as soon as they get one, they contact, hey, here's one, go get them. Nah, don't work that way. Right hand don't know what the left hand is doing. They're probably not even in the same state. And even if they were, I'm telling you, they don't care as long as they're collecting payments. Question back there? I saw a hand go up. Okay. Over here. Okay. Somebody's going to have to translate that up to this side so I can hear it. What'd you say? Yes.
The difference between the deposit and you put it in, you seller financing, the difference?
I'm not seller financing anything. I'm buying with seller financing. Right. See those down payments that I put up? I put up $100,000 altogether. I got back $155,000. Does that answer the question or not? Yeah, of course. I'll be making payments on those three houses out of the rent I collect on those three houses, just like any other owner financing deal. Sure. All right, one more. How does it feel to have the last question of the day? It better be a good one, huh? Go ahead.
It's a lot of pressure.
Yeah. You won't live long enough to see me buy a property in my own name or anything else in my own name. I own nothing as far as the world is concerned, and neither will you after I have some time to spend with you.
So the IRS doesn't care who owns it?
No, as long as taxes are paid. But the answer is everything is going to be owned in a land trust. You, on the board, I see four different land trusts. But that doesn't change how I'm going to report the income and the outgo in whatever entity owns the land trust, which is going to be one LLC, most likely. One LLC can own as many trusts as you want, but only one house goes in each trust. One egg, one basket. House on one, problem on one house don't affect problems on all the houses. Like the gentleman back here that said, Well, his attorney did not. His attorney told him to get one LLC for each house. Many attorneys will tell you to put several houses in one LLC. Well, fine, do that. But just remember, what happens on one house just affected every house in that LLC, because that LLC is on public record as the owner of that house. Big fire happens in that house. Children die in a fire, multi-million-dollar lawsuit. That lawsuit is against the owner of that house. The owner of that house is that LLC. That LLC owns all those other houses. Gone. Now, 10 houses, each in its own separate land trust. Lawsuit is against that one house and that one land trust. One house is at risk. One egg, one basket. You better remember, one egg, one basket. Don't let any attorney try to talk you into anything other than one egg, one basket. Just remember, when they come and take your empire away from you, your attorney won't even apologize. They always get paid. But an asset protection attorney and an estate planning attorney is like a positive and negative pole, and that's all got to be done together. In fact, I've even got the attorney that'll do that for you when I get a chance to see you again in a training environment. Because that's something you all need to do, is start working on your asset/estate plan so that you don't have to worry about them coming after your marbles. And the key is not hiding stuff, because you're not going to hide anything in this world. Your attorney will know what you got in a nanosecond. And if they don't, they'll find out in a deposition. If you lie to them, now you've turned a civil thing into a criminal thing. So the key is not trying to hide it. It's to make sure they can't get it, even when they know you got it. So you guys need to learn how to do that. Guess who can teach you? The OG. All right. You guys are fun. Been a fun day with you. It's kind of nice to get out in public again. May all of your parents have rich children. May all of your children have rich parents. And when you check into the nursing home, may you own it free and clear. Thank you for coming. I now release you back out to society.